You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A five-star review, five stars, is the best way to support the show. If you go on iTunes, you leave their review, you're going to help other people find the show, and I will thank you immensely. You can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs, and you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Rights. On today's show, the primary focus is Summer League, where the Cavs are 2-1 after beating the Pacers on Monday, and have had some interesting performances from Jetty Osman, Colin Sexton, and Ante Zizic, among others. But we'll also be talking through some of the latest Cavs news and rumors, so without further ado, here's today's show. We're going to start with the news, and that means starting with Rodney Hood. Now, according to a report coming out of Sacramento, from the Sacramento Bee, Rodney Hood is drawing interest from the Kings, who are also reportedly interested in offering an offer sheet to Marcus Smart. Recording this at 10 p.m. on Monday night, July 9th, so if that changes when you listen to this, keep that in mind, but the interesting thing about Hood in Sacramento is they're a team I could see overpaying for him. If you saw, they offered Zach LaVine a huge contract extension, and he's a player that I think could fit them. Now, maybe they want to make sure they give De'Aaron Fox a chance to hold the ball. They want to make sure Marvin Bagley gets to eat. They have Buddy Hield, but you can get a lot of ball handlers. You could certainly talk yourself into him developing into a nice prospect, and I think they're one of the few teams left, and maybe the only team left, that could throw a bunch of money at Hood and make Rodney Hood too expensive for the Cavs' liking. He's a player, Hood, who the Cavs have openly talked about wanting to be part of their plans. In the recent days, you've had Kobe Altman and Tyronn Lue both talk about him like he's a part of their plan for next season and perhaps beyond. But I think there is a limit, and there should be a limit on how much you want to pay him. I think the Cavs are in a position where in 2 years they can have a pretty clean cap sheet, and Hood can be a part of that. He could come back at $9-10 million at most, and I think that's fine. I think that should be okay for him, even as depending on what the cap looks like and what the team wants to spend and everything, and what the extension for Larry Nance looks like as well. But I think you get up to 12, 13, 14, which maybe the Kings aren't offering that, but if there's something like that, I think you get into tricky situations there, and maybe they throw player options in there that make it tricky as well. But I think unless you get too high up in the $13, $14 million range, that I would not pay for it. But if it's $10 million, I think that's okay. It's not great, but I think you can talk yourself into it being okay, and maybe it's only 3 years or 2 years with the player option, and then it ends up being all right. But they, to me, are the one team left out there that would make sense for Hood. And if I think Smart maybe makes more sense for them, and I think they'll look at him first. But that is sort of the market the Cavs are looking at. And maybe Hood does take his qualifying offer as well. Maybe it comes to that. But I think that that's the one team out there that really does make sense to help leverage him into a better deal. Moving on to another wing, Kyle Korver, according to Terry Pluto from The Plain Dealer, is on the trade block. Korver, of the Cavs vets, of the elders that I'll label him on this current team, I think there's reason to think he'd be the easiest one to trade, and maybe one with the skill set that makes the most sense to trade, because he's a guy that would go in and fit in on a team pretty easily. The salary's pretty low, so it's not as if you have to get into some potentially complicated salary matching with like a Kevin Love or a George Hill. I think you could get value for him as well. I think a 2 second-round picks, maybe a protected first, would be a value you could maybe get for Korver in the right situation. Maybe that's at the deadline, but I think it's possible. But I also think there is value to keeping him around. Salary-wise, he is not someone that is particularly tied up long-term. He's got a small guarantee on his deal for next season, so he basically had cost 7.5 or so this year. Basically, would cost you 3.4 next year, and then you have all that cap space in that summer, that next summer. He also, I think, is a good mentor for young guys. He could help Colin Sexton learn how to shoot. He could work with Carl White, work with Trevion Graham if the Cavs sign him, and we'll talk about him in a second. He works well with Jetty. Works well with Larry Nance, who wants to extend his range, and talked about that on ESPN2 on Monday night. He's a guy that I think worked with LeBron. We know he worked with LeBron, and I think he could have a real positive influence on these young guys learning to be pros. If you just watch Summer League, you're seeing his influence on how Jetty comes around screens and how his shot form looks. You look at how the elbow looks on Jetty's three-point shot on certain shots. It is sort of similar. Key, though, again, could want to be in a situation where he wants to win. He could want to contend, and maybe knowing that he's near the end of his career, has had these foot issues, and is, again, closer to the end than the beginning, he could be someone that wants out, and he maybe wouldn't force a trade, but it wouldn't shock me if they flip him at some point. So I think this makes some sense. To mention the aforementioned Trevion Graham, he played for the Hornets last year. If you're not familiar with him, he's a 6'5 wing, 24 years old, will be 25 at the start of next season. According to NBA.com's David Aldridge, the Cavs attended his workout. That contingent included GM Kobe Altman and Mike Gansey, who ran their draft and is an assistant GM and used to run to the Canton Charge, and is maybe the number two in that front office. I think Graham is an interesting player, and I think would make sense. He's a 3-and-D guy with some upside. He was a good bench player for the Hornets last year. He's got some good numbers that would indicate he's a buy low, maybe get some return value out of him. And I think you could also develop him. You're not in a rush to win. He's not particularly older than your core, right? Like, Colin Sexton is very young. Zizic is young. Jetty's young. But he's only 2 years older than Jetty right now. If you're a playoff team in 3 years, him, Rodney Hood, and Larry Nance are all, Frank, are roughly in the same age range. So he's not too old for this core. And you don't want completely young, undeveloped guys. You want guys like him, I think, who you can develop, but also have some value for you right now. And particularly if Hood leaves, I think he makes a lot of sense because you're going to need some shooting, you're going to need some wing defense, and he's a different player than Hood. I don't think has the same ball creation potential and ability, but he has some ability to maybe be a better defender, maybe a more consistent shooter coming off screens. According to Aldridge, the Wolves are also interested in Graham, and I think Cleveland's biggest advantage here is that they could pay him more in a summer where there's not a lot of money. The Wolves are hard capped. They still have about $10 million or so, I believe, according to early bird rights, that they could spend, but they really only have the biannual exception and minimum contracts right now before they reach their maximum, and that's about $3.2 million on that biannual exception. The Cavs could use part of their mid-annual exception. They could use their biannual exception as well. They could, I think, find a way to make it more financially good for Graham to come to the Cavs. Maybe he finds a role on a good team that's probably going to make the playoffs next year, or at least have a good shot of making the playoffs next year, more appealing. He saw Jimmy Butler get hurt, maybe Wiggins gets traded this year, and he steps into a big role there and thrives. And maybe he wants to get on the market again next summer. Maybe a one-year deal on a good team is what he wants, and maybe he wants to get on the market again. But if the Cavs could get him and get him on the roster where they have these open spots to fill and need wings, and every team need wings, and he's just got could be a good value contract that maybe you could flip for something later on, or could be on a good team in a year or two, or a decent team in a year or two, maybe not good. I think there's a lot of value in that. Again, he's not too old for this core. Some of the people in the Fear the Sword comments certainly seem to think that he's a bit too old, but I think with Jetty being 22, Zizic being 21, Sexton, even if he's 19 years old, I think there's really good value in a guy his age, and I think he's someone that has a potential to get better and rated out pretty well. Even if only about 17 minutes a game last year, it's a guy with a good three-point shot, plays hard on defense, is a smart defender. You want a guy like that on your team, and I think it's a good low-risk, low-cost signing if the Cavs can pull it off. I think it makes a lot of sense. Moving on to Summer League, Jetty Osman, of course, I think has been the headliner of this Summer League, and I think he's been too good for Summer League in the two games he's played. This is a guy that he took a rest day because he played with the Turkish national team, and he looked very good in those games from what I saw and looked in the box scores of those games, but he's a player that looks very confident, is making the right reads. He's making decisions that are like legit NBA player decisions. He's seeing holes. He's seeing the right opportunities. He's coming around screens much better than he did at this time last year. And his role, it's not a perfect comp, but his role in Summer League, which is sort of unstructured basketball to some degree, It's very similar to what he's done with the Turkish national team. It'll be interesting to see how he can still develop parts of his game. His three-point shot, for one, is a little bit off. His handle needs some work and some tightening, and the Cavs have talked to him, he said, about dealing with pressure better and dealing with guys getting in his face better, as especially full court when they're pressuring him and trying to take advantage of a slightly loose, sloppy handle. But what he does in terms of creation, pushing the pace, getting up and down the floor, making right reads, and having a pretty good court vision for a young guy, and as we saw last year, some of the passes he threw, that's a really valuable player. And it's a really interesting player, and I think a player that fits the modern NBA very, very well. How this looks in the regular season once he's, you know, in the Cavs' new look offense, which I'm assuming they're going to have because you have to have one without LeBron, how it looks with Kevin Love, with George Hill, with making sure Sexton gets reps is going to be very interesting. But I think letting him do this type of thing in the regular season, letting him push the pace, letting him handle, letting him be a creator and develop those parts of his game is a good thing for next season. It's a good thing for the future of the franchise and of the team's success. And I really think Jetty is proving to be too good for Summer League. And I'm very, very excited about how he's developed and where he's headed as he gets into his second year in the NBA. And it sounds like a much bigger role. The Cavs are talking about him as if he's a guy that is going to be a big part of their plans this year. I know Ty liked him last year. I think in different circumstances, he might have played more. But I think next year, there's no excuse for him to not play a lot with or without Rodney Hood back. And I'm very excited for what's to come for him. Next, looking at Colin Sexton, the Cavs' top pick, I think one thing to remember when watching Sexton in Summer League is remembering that the Cavs are in a very weird spot structurally. What you're watching right now is not the type of tactics, not the type of strategy I would expect the Cavs to implement in the fall. They're not going to use the offense they're running now, which is pretty basic and just involves some screening and some basic pick and roll and some off-ball screens, to be the main run of the offense. You can obviously cannot replicate Kevin Love, Kyle Korver, George Hill. It's just a different personnel, different level of personnel that really hurts Sexton to some degree and hurts what you're going to see from him in Summer League and what's really fair to evaluate from him and what is a weird purgatory between college basketball and full-blown NBA ball. So the offense he's going to learn in training camp and maybe get a tease of now or something, I'm not sure, that will really tell us what kind of stuff Tyloo wants to do. Basically, they're basically just letting him go out there, run some basic sets, and play hard. That's what they're asking him to do. But I think what has been good about Sexton in Summer League is sort of what's just been appealing about him as a prospect, and I think why the Cavs drafted him. He's had a really nice burst and an ability to get to the rim quickly, even if he's not finishing as well as he'll need to if he's going to reach his full potential down the line. He's shown a really decent ability to know when to attack versus when to pull up or when to not attack or and pass the ball out. And I think his awareness in these spots has been really good enough. He's even able to show off that burst in half-court sets where it's obviously very easy for a player, or at least easier for a player, to get out on the break and show off their speed. He's been able to show it in certain instances in half-court sets and really maximize small windows of space where he can explode and get to the rim. And that's really, really impressive. He also is just a player who really plays hard on both ends of the floor, and I think that's going to earn him reps, earn him respect, earn him Tyloo's trust and inability to go out there and fail, which rookies are all going to do. What hasn't been great is I think he has a habit of taking some long twos. Some of his decisions have been a little bit off, and his assist to turnover ratio and his general floor vision hasn't been particularly great. But these are things that are going to get better with reps in a more structured offense with the help of Ty, being coached by Ty, hands-on all the time, getting help from George Hill. And with time and working with Lou and all these different guys, I think it's really going to benefit him. And you're going to see a guy that makes progression and at least have the chance to make progression come regular season. He's had bright moments. He looks like he can hang at this level. He has not looked overwhelmed. And I think that's all you're really looking for out of Sexton in Summer League. You just want a brief tease of what he might be going forward. Turning now to Ante Zizic, the second-year center, he's been fine. He's really big. That serves him very well in Summer League. He's done a lot of the posting up and the prototypical traditional big man-y stuff he's very good at. But I think when you think about what Summer League sets him up for, I think it would be very odd to see him used so heavily in the regular season, to have sets run through him in the regular season when the season actually starts. And for him, I think what he's doing in summer league shows the potential he has, the what differentiates him from Thompson and from Nance and from any other big the Cavs might get, like Lee, like Marcus Lee. But I think the stuff that would get him minutes this year is not what he's doing in summer league. He needs to rebound well, to hang in space, and hanging on defense, things that he has struggled with a little bit. If you just look at the game against the Bulls, he scored a lot of points and did very well posting up, but also had some real issues with Wendell Carter Jr., the rookie out of Duke, who's just more athletic than him, and you saw moments where he just was not able to quite hang in certain capacities and had trouble with a quicker, more athletic guy, and that's what I think a concern for him generally as a prospect. But I think there are things to really like about him. He does, I think, rebound on the defensive glass pretty well. He uses his frame pretty well. He does move pretty well for a guy his size. But I think there's work for him to do. And I think what you're seeing in summer league is very impressive. It shows how far he's come. The work he put in with Vitaly Potapenko last year, I think, really did him a lot of good. But I think for him to earn minutes, we're going to need to see him play more like the guy we saw in the bits of the regular season where he crashes the glass, he can hang in space. And that's not, I think, what we've really seen in summer league. We've seen a guy who's much more relying on his offense, relying on his post-ups to have his value, when I think that's fine, you can have that, but I think in a modern NBA and for him on a team with other bigs and when it's going to be tight minutes there, I think he needs to do other stuff to really differentiate himself. On the fringes of the roster, I think there's been some interesting things as well. Billy Preston is obviously very raw. You see a player when you watch him play that has a lot of work to do. But he's been kind of interesting, and I think he's the type of two-way guy that makes a lot of sense in a rebuild. There's clear upside and talent there to be developed in mind, but he needs a lot of work, and he makes more sense to me than a John Holland type who's sort of a stopgap player, is what he is, and is sort of just a player and what he is. There's not anything to mold there. Preston, I'd like to just see him play through all of summer league. I think two-way and getting him a lot of time in the G League is the right way to develop him. I think it's interesting that they were able to get him on that two-way, and he did obviously go and drafted for a reason, but I like sort of some of the stuff I've seen from him. Marcus Lee, a big man wearing number 24, is the other player who has really stood out. He's switchy, he runs the floor well, and he does some really interesting things on the court that are modern and really are just kind of interesting. He's very long as well, and maybe there's value to him in that capacity. I think, especially in the G League, he's a guy that could do really well. But I wonder what the value for a guy like him is when you already have Nance, you have Zizic, you have Thompson, and bigs are less important than they ever have been. Is it worth using a two-way on a guy like him, or putting time, a roster spot into him that you could use in a wing? I think wings just have so much more value, and if you can develop those guys, I think it's worth the risk more so than a big. Maybe he's a two-way guy and John Holland goes, but I think Jamal Artis has also been largely fine. It might be more interesting to have around than Holland. Both, to me, seem like good can-charge players. And I think you're seeing an interesting group of talent on some level. Scoochie Smith has been, I think, interesting enough. Dakota Mathias has been just whatever, but I think Preston, I think Lee, I think Artis. I think you're getting guys that have done some interesting-ish things, and I think that in itself is a positive for the Cavs just because they have not always had that going forward. That is going to be it for today's show. Thank you again for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow with the East Bank Cleveland's Jordan Zerm. You can find on Twitter at CleveZerm to talk about LeBron's Cleveland legacy and what's next for the Cavs and a whole other Cavs-y, Cleveland-y-related things. If you have questions you want answered in our next mailbag, please submit them to @LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to @LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. Next week will be the next mailbag for sure, probably recording it on Facebook Live as well on Fear the Torch Facebook page, so keep that in mind, and I'll tweet that out when we do that Facebook Live and the mailbag. A 5-star review on iTunes, by the way, does guarantee your question gets answered, so keep that in mind. At Fear the Sword, be sure to check out our summer league coverage and all of the latest Cavs news. In the next couple days, I'll also have stories up on why it makes sense for the Cavs to pay Rodney Hood and Larry Nance Jr. this summer, and how each of the non-young Cavs fits in this post-LeBron James world. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Locked On Cavaliers for Tuesday, July 10th. I'm Chris Manning from FearTheSword.com. Talk to you tomorrow.